welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I've been going through chapter 2 of my book this week and last week. If we're going to commit ourselves to following the Bible and receive the promise of being prosperous and successful that the Bible gives, we need to be able to understand, why is it that I believe the Bible's true? And so I've gone through kind of step by step. It centers around Jesus. It also centers around the truth of God's Word as we look at how the Bible describes the human condition, how it describes history, the nation of Israel, but most importantly, that Jesus told us we could trust the Bible as God's Word, and Jesus died and rose from the dead, just as he said. Jesus showed that he really is God, as he claimed. These are historical events with hundreds of eyewitnesses. These things were done in public. And so Christianity and the truth of the Bible is dependent on something we can actually investigate and verify, which is why atheists like Lee Strobel, who is an atheist journalist for the Chicago Tribune, or J. Warner Wallace, who is an atheist cold case homicide detective, when they put their investigative skills to work to try to disprove Christianity, or C.S. Lewis, I could mention, who is an atheistic philosopher and study of classic literature, when they put their trained professional skills to work to show Christianity is false, they discovered that it's actually true and became Christians. And no other religion offers that kind of support and evidence to show us that we can really trust the Bible when it promises to be a divine guide to how to live life in a way that will lead to being successful in life. And what I've done the last day or two is kind of address some questions. Well, okay, so it seems like the Bible's true, but what about, and we've looked at what about other religions, we've looked at hasn't the Bible been changed over time? We've seen that there are really good answers to those questions. I want to talk about another one today. What about all the contradictions in the Bible? So some people will say, well, I don't know if I can trust that the Bible is God's word. There are a lot of contradictions in the Bible. And typically, if someone points this out to me, I'll want to ask them, first of all, can you show me one of these contradictions? Because I want to see what it is they have in mind as being a contradiction. And usually, people will say, well, I don't know of any, or I can't name one. I know they're in there, I just don't know any off the top of my head. The reality is there are no contradictions in the Bible. And I have read many skeptics and atheists and critics of the Bible try to create lists of contradictions. And when you look at them, you find that they aren't contradictions at all. And I have yet to find anyone make a credible case for a contradiction in the Bible. Instead, what you have are stories that aren't 100% alike in the details they record. But that's not the same thing as a contradiction. One of the classic examples that are given, sometimes people will say, well, what about Judas? If I say, name a contradiction. Well, let's look at the story of Judas. Specifically, how did he die? Well, Matthew 27, verse 5, says that Judas died when he, quote, went away and hanged himself. And that's all Matthew says about it. He says Judas hanged himself. But if you look in the book of Acts, Luke, a different writer, also describes how Judas died. And he said, quote, he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Sorry, it's early in the morning. I won't repeat that. But anyway, it's a dramatically graphic, different picture from simply saying Judas hanged himself. So which is it? Did Judas hang himself, or did he die this other terrible way? Well, I would say those are two different descriptions of the same event. Judas hanged himself, and then we could think of any number of ways, again, I won't go into detail on a morning program, of how after the fact, the other thing that Luke describes is what happened to his body, either immediately or maybe days later. Now, why is there this difference? Well, Matthew personally knew Judas. Judas was one of the 12 along with Matthew. They spent years talking to each other. They knew each other well. Matthew probably just wanted to quickly mention the bare facts of what happened to Judas. Luke did not have that personal connection. Luke wanted to emphasize how terrible Judas's end was, and he did not hesitate as much as Matthew would likely have hesitated to give the gory details to someone he didn't have a personal knowledge of. And so, you know, when you look at these so-called contradictions, you can easily see how two different accounts could be talking about the same event. They're just with different perspectives, different authors wanting to fill in different details, having a different purpose for including a story. You see this all the time with traffic accident accounts. If multiple people see the same car accident and they're interviewed separately, they're going to give different details. Maybe one person saw it from the back, one person saw it from the front. One person has been in a similar accident and has an emotional reaction to seeing someone else in that accident. Another person has never been in an accident. And so they're going to include different details. One might just matter-of-fact say, that car ran into the rear end of that car over there. Whereas another person might start from 3 minutes earlier. That car was trying to pass that car, and he kept trying to pass him, and he couldn't get around him. And they include all kinds of details the other person left out. Those aren't contradictory accounts. They're just different accounts. So you see that happen in the Bible a lot. And in actuality, if you're a police officer investigating a crime scene, or let's say you're investigating a car accident, and you talk to several witnesses who seem to be completely unrelated, and they all give the exact same account, the same starting point, the same ending point, the same length, the exact same details, this worded the same way, you're going to say, wait a minute, these witnesses talk to each other. These witnesses want me to believe a certain version to protect maybe their friend who really was at fault in the accident or something like that. But you're going to be very suspicious if multiple witnesses give the exact same account. So actually, the fact that the Bible has differences in these accounts adds credibility to the story. The same atheist who says, oh, the Bible has contradictions, you can't trust it. Well, if those accounts were written exactly the same atheist would say, oh, the Bible clearly only has one witness, they work together, you can't trust it. You know, the reality is these differences in accounts that fit together give us different perspectives and show us we have multiple independent eyewitnesses of the historical events of Jesus' trial, his death, his burial, his resurrection. So they add credibility to the Bible once again. Now, there are other questions I haven't dealt with this week. One I've spent a whole week on before is, am I really supposed to follow all the commands in the Bible? Sometimes we say, well, following the Bible sounds nice, but there are some crazy commands in there. All right, I've dealt with that in the past, and I may bring it up again in the future, but if you're curious as to how I answer that, you can find that in the book, Prosperous and Successful. I wrote it to go along with this radio program. It is available on Amazon. Just search Prosperous and Successful. It's based on the promise given to us in Joshua 1:8 about what the Bible can do in our lives. And all the last 2 weeks, I've just been kind of covering Chapter 2 of the book. The book is about much more than just how do we know the Bible's true. It's also about how the Bible specifically tells us about how the human body and spirit work, how we can bring change in our lives, what the goal of our lives should be. Prosperous and successful can mean many things to many people. And it's not, for instance, about getting lots of money. It's about having joy in life. It's about living without regrets. It's about doing something meaningful with life. So I cover all that in the book in other chapters, and I'll talk about those in other weeks. But you can get the book. You can find information on the Facebook group, Trust the Bible. I have other articles there. And I'd also encourage you to go to church Sunday. And if you don't have a church, we'd love to have you at our 9 o'clock service at Beach Branch Baptist in Luray and our 11 o'clock service at Fairfax First Baptist. And if you have any questions, just call 943-8237. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.